coming up on KUCB News. An investigation into Alaska's Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. And a new exhibit debuts at the Museum of the Illusions. Stay tuned.
Local News is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Zoe Sobel with some local news on Thursday, July 13th, 2017. Two state commissioners are making big money even though they don't have much work left to do. That's the story recently reported by Nathaniel Herz with the Alaska Dispatch News. He investigated the state's Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission.
There are some inefficiencies and I think what some would call dysfunction at this agency that have been very clearly and specifically documented in the past two or three years that no one has been able to fix. And that starts at the top.
The commission was created in the 1970s in order to limit the number of boats that can participate in certain commercial fisheries and conserve the stocks. Herz writes that they haven't limited a fishery since 2004 and have processed fewer than five applications per year since 2012.
Basically, the core work that the commissioners have done in the past just, you know, doesn't really exist anymore at anything near the level that it once did.
Despite this, Commissioners Ben Brown and Bruce Twombly are each still earning $130,000 per year. Legislatures and Governor Bill Walker have made attempts to change the structure and cost of the commission and make it more efficient, but Herz reports that their efforts have failed, in part because of the steps taken by commercial fishing interests.
So there's like a real concern that, if you just sort of wrap the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission up under Fish and Game, that somehow, it could be subject to the whims of the Fish and Game Commissioner. It could lose its political independence. It could become less responsive.
Herz says he spoke with both commissioners who say they have made the agency more efficient.
They've done a lot of cost cutting and sort of reduced unneeded staff that they had there. They are paying, their payroll is down by, I think 10% or more over the past several years since Brown was appointed to the commission.
You can find a link to Herz's full story on alaskapublic.org. The Kenai Peninsula Borough has been in a legal battle over its invocation policy for months. Hearing in that case aren't scheduled until early next year, but the borough has settled another court battle. KBBI's Aaron Bolton reports Borough Assembly member Willie Dunn settled his lawsuit last week over a legal agreement Borough Mayor Mike Navarre entered, contracting legal services in the invocation case.
The legal saga of the Kenai Peninsula Borough's contentious invocation policy has been a long one. The controversy began when Satanic Temple member Iris Fontana ended her invocation last summer with the words, "Hail Satan." The Borough Assembly reacted in October by passing a resolution restricting who could give invocations, replacing its previous first-come, first-serve policy. The American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska is suing the borough over the move. Assemblymember Dunn thought the policy shift was discriminatory, and he introduced an ordinance to do away with invocations in February. The proposal failed in April, but as the ordinance was under legal review, Dunn says borough attorney Colette Thompson alerted him he would need to submit any public commentary about his proposal or the invocation issue to the Alliance Defending Freedom, a Christian-based legal firm providing pro bono services to the borough. Dunn submitted an op-ed he was planning to publish in local and regional newspapers.
That rubbed me the wrong way, obviously, and I thought I shouldn't be required to submit anything for prior approval. But I did it on the request of the borough attorney. And then I was informed that the Alliance Defending Freedom did not approve of my opinion piece and that I would not be allowed to publish it.
Alliance Defending Freedom is representing the borough in the invocation case. According to the contract Mayor Navarre signed, the client or borough is not allowed to make any public comments without the firm's approval. Dunn also included Navarre in the lawsuit for entering the contract, alleging he never consulted with the assembly. The document doesn't directly say who is considered a client, but Dunn says it restricted his rights.
That contract inferred that I needed to have prior approval from the Alliance Defending Freedom for anything I discussed regarding the invocation issue. So our settlement makes it clear that I can speak freely.
The contract also says that in exchange for services, Alliance Defending Freedom can use the borough's image and may require recorded testimonials for fundraising. Navarre explains there was some confusion over Dunn's op-ed, but adds the borough never told him he couldn't publish his opinion piece. But Navarre adds the borough preferred that he didn't publish it for fear it would undermine the legal firm's work.
If somebody from the borough does something that hurts their ability to defend us, then it may impact the contract. In fact, they may decide that they don't want to defend us anymore because we're undermining their ability to defend us. That's why that provision was in there.
Navarre notes the borough was looking for the most cost-effective way to handle the invocation case when it decided to use the legal firm's pro bono services. He says the legal document's language is typical for these types of agreements and that assembly members are allowed to speak freely under the contract.
And in this case, it was an unfortunate misunderstanding, and it ended up costing the borough and Lily in order to find a resolution. But we found a resolution.
The settlement states Dunn is not required to support Alliance Defending Freedom's fundraising efforts, and the borough also agreed to pay Dunn $10,000 for his legal fees. Dunn is still dissatisfied with the borough's invocation policy, but does not have any plans to introduce another ordinance.
However, five assembly members are up for election in October, so we may have some new faces on the assembly, and I'll assess that in the fall and see how we want to proceed.
As for the invocation case, Anchorage Superior Court Judge Aaron Marston scheduled a trial week in late February next year. Reporting in Homer, I'm Aaron Bolton.
A new exhibit opens tonight at the Museum of the Aleutians. Underwater Forests of the Aleutians highlights human connection to the Aleutian coast. Visitors can see and touch artifacts like otter pelts, harpoons, and scientific research equipment. Doors open at 6 p.m. and light refreshments will be served. The exhibit will remain in Unalaska until October, when it will continue its journey around the state. The cruise ship Silver Discoverer will bring 128 passengers to town tomorrow. The ship will dock at 7 a.m. and depart at noon. Unalaskans will have a chance to test their mettle and their legs in the annual Ballyhoo Mountain Run this weekend. The race climbs 1,600 feet over 2 miles, and there will be a new winner. Defending champion and women's record holder Beatrice Dietrich does not plan to run this year. It starts at 5 p.m., and you can register at the PCR. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Zoe Sobel. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. Please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecast.